Psalms 119. Look here, it's starting at verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to be in your house and be with other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, you've been very good to us today. You have loaded us with benefit, as your word says. We had a good service this morning. We already had a nice service so far, Lord. And now I know it's the preaching of your word, and I know I can't do anything without you, and I just ask for your help. Help me to rightly divide your word. Help this message to encourage us and help us with our walk. Keep a hedge around us. Keep us safe. Lord, our nation needs you. And I pray that people would truly repent and turn to you. And help us to do our part as believers to share the gospel with them. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as we're continuing here in the book of Psalms, we're down to verse 113. As David said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. The word vain is defined, it depends on how it's used, right? There's different definitions for vain. But you think about it, vain is empty. Vain means without meaning. It means also empty of moral value and pride. Moral value and pride. When he says, I hate vain thoughts, you think about those empty moral value or the pride, right? Now, there are some thoughts that are out there. It's just not the quote-unquote action, but there's some things that people think. Just pure wickedness. Pure wickedness. And here it is. David is saying that he hates it. Now, I want you to understand, God desires or wants us to hate sin, but never hate people. The reality is we should hate sin. That day that you got saved, you saw sin for what it is, what sin has done for you, and you accept the Lord as your Savior. But your outlook or how you see sin should have changed. You see sin for what it is. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't choose sin, but the reality is we see it for what it is. And don't ever forget that, what sin is, how sin destroys. Our society has greatly changed. And think about the entertainment industry, how it went from something maybe, you know, like father knows best until, I don't know, eight dads living together or whatever is out there. I don't know what they have out there. But what I'm saying is how things have changed in our society. Maybe there was small jokes about something that was maybe innocent, and now it's just pure wickedness where it's out there. Folks, what I'm saying is our society has changed. These vain thoughts, we should hate that stuff, amen? Not the people, but hate it. You should not support that stuff. Amen. We shouldn't support things that are the ungodly. Stay away from it. And here it is. You can see it's an opposite. I hate vain thoughts, these things that are empty, moral, that are ungodly, the pride. But thy law do I love. It's like a contrast. The one is evil and the other is good. And that's the one I love. And when we look at this, the reality is our flesh would love the vain thoughts, but our spirit loves thy law. And what we need to be as believers is make sure that we stay in the spirit. Do our best to stay in the spirit. Stop feeding the flesh. I'm speaking of a spiritual sense, not physical sense, but stop feeding your flesh. Stop feeding your flesh. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 6, so we see a kind of a contrast. One is vain, and the other is his law, amen? The vain that he hates, but his law that he loves. Look over here to the book of Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, this was the Sermon on the Mount. This is, I think, one of the longest sermons that's recorded in Scripture. Starts at chapter 5 and ends at chapter 7. So it was three chapters long. Right in the middle of it, in Matthew chapter 6, he tells us this in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now, God's not saying that you can't have a savings account. He's not saying that. But he's referring to where is our heart, this covetousness, right? He goes on and says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither rust nor where moth nor rust nor corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Amen. You think about it, this world can't touch the rewards that you place in heaven. Those people that you influence for God and they get saved, the reality is there is a reward for that. Amen. What a glorious thing. Having the biggest bank account in this world is not going to help you when you get to heaven. Amen. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? What do you care about? What do you think about? What is your desire, right? What do you treasure so much? Well, there's where your heart is. Is our heart is the treasure on the things of God or on the things of this world? He goes on and says, the light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thy eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. For therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness, right? And so again, he's trying to say, you know, if your desires for the things of God, you know, that's good, but if the things are evil, it's bad. And then he says this, again, talking about coveting, right? Where is our heart? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, right? You think back to David. What was David saying? I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Why? Because they're the opposite. And it's the same thing. Can I tell you, if you're trying to serve God, then the reality is you think about covetousness is not going to be there. Amen? Because a lot, if you're serving God, you're not going to get the pat on the back. If you're serving God, there's a good chance that you may not be made well off financially. Because there may be someone that's hurting and you're willing to help them. So he's saying that from this. Why? Because they don't go together. Amen? I mean, if your desire is to be rich, then the reality is your desire is not to serve God. If your desire is to serve God, well, the reality is you're not going to have the desire to be rich. Amen? There's a difference that's there. Why? He's saying you're putting God first. Amen? So if you go back here to Psalms 119. So again, don't take it out of context. God's not saying you can't have a savings account or can't have a good job. He's not saying that. But where is that heart of yours? And then he goes on. So as David has given this contrast at the beginning, look what he says down here, verse 114 and 115, Psalms 119. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. That word hope, it talks about his trust or his confidence. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep thy commandments, for I will keep the commandments of my God. So here it is in verse 13. He talks about vain thoughts, and that's the world we live in. We live in a world that's filled with wickedness. I was reading something on the way at home before I came in, and they were talking about funeral service today. And someone brought up this point. I know I've heard this before. I think Debbie even said it. You know, if you think about it, here was a man that died who was in the, he was a Republican, influencing the Republican Party. But he was, from my understanding, he was a believer. And he seemed like he had a desire for God. But anyway, there was an uproar from the standpoint of riots, right? I mean, yeah, there's people that's hurting and things. But I didn't see any riots. I didn't see anything happen to the jewelry store down here that was broken in. None of that happened, right? But you think back of whenever the guy that actually stole, if I can't remember, was it the one guy that stole, police confronted him. He tried to take his gun and he shot him. The reality is, you think about, there was riots all over. Amen? That happened. And they said, you know, you look at it, there's a difference, right? You have one side that is remembering a life of someone that tried to do good. Or on the other side, you're rejoicing over someone who was trying to do good. Amen? You have to realize there's a contrast. And here, what David's talking about, vain thoughts. And then he talks about how you're my hiding place. Why? Because we live in a world that's filled with wickedness. It doesn't matter what side, well, it does matter what side you're on. Amen? You want to be on God's side. But what I'm saying from the standpoint, if someone would have got assassinated that was a liberal, you better not be out rejoicing, amen, that someone got murdered, amen? Murder is wrong. And so anyway, you think about it, that's the world we live in that people were celebrating. I saw, and there was a young man that was a college student. During this guy's, they had a memorial service at different colleges, right? They had little things. And a guy came up and stood in front of those people and pretending like he was Charlie, just got shot. You know, can you imagine that? The pure wickedness. Folks, what I'm trying to say is this. We live in a world that's full of vain thoughts, as in empty morals. Anything can go. Isn't it a blessing? Thou art my hiding place and my shield, and I hope in thy word that we can go to God. Amen? God can protect us. God can help us through these times. God can help us to get away from this world that we live in that's filled with wickedness. And then he says here, he says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. David is here is practicing, think about separation. He didn't want those that are wicked. Now he had the authority when someone would come in his presence because he was king that was wicked. He'd say, depart, get out of here. Amen. And there were those who came into David's presence that were wicked, and David got rid of those people. But anyway, if you think about it, he was practicing separation. We live in this world, amen? And nothing's going to change that, amen? We're living in this world until death or to the rapture. But we don't have to take part of that wickedness. We should have separation in our life of saying, you know what, I don't want to take part of that. I don't want to take part in, you know, when someone's doing things, you know, wicked stuff. I don't want to take a part of that. Or someone's going down the road of sin. I don't want to take a part of that. Or there's a group of people that's celebrating things that are wicked. I don't want to take a part of that. There should be a separation in us, right? There should be a difference between us and this world. When people see us as believers, they should see something different in us. I'm not talking about do we look down on people and saying we're better, but they should see something different in us and saying, you know what? I want to serve God. I want to follow righteousness, not ungodliness. Here is David that's saying these things. Why? Because he loves God's word. And if you love God's word and you have a desire to keep God's word, well, the reality is you're going to have the same thing. You're not going to fit in with those that are out there drinking and swearing and doing all those wicked things. You're not going to feel comfortable in that life. Amen? Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit that lives in. And that's what David is saying. David is saying, I love your word so much that I don't want to be a part of that wickedness. He goes on and look at what he says here in verse 16 and 17. Uphold me. That word uphold means to lift up, to support, to keep, to continue without failing. So it means to strengthen, right? Uphold me or strengthen me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. My hope would be that faith or that confidence. Hold thou me up, again, strengthen me, lift me up, and I shall be saved, and I will have respect unto the statutes continually. Here was David was not trusting in himself. He wasn't trusting in himself. As I was preaching this morning, this journey is too great for us. Amen. We need God. Amen. Here is David, even though he had a desire, he loved God's word, he would try to keep God's word, he hated those vain thoughts, he hated the not the people, but the evil deeds. The wicked doers, not the people, but the deeds himself. Even though he had the right desire, he realized that he can't do it on his own. Uphold me. Hold thou me up. Amen? I need your strength. I need your encouragement. I need you to guide me and help me. Amen? Why? Because I'm living in a very wicked world. And can I tell you, we could easily be tainted. Easily be tainted with sin. And here it is, his desire was to say, Lord, help me. David was aware of the weakness of his flesh. I don't know when this was recorded. I don't know if this was before or after he committed adultery. But one thing for sure, David realized the weakness of flesh. You could be a man after God's own heart. And can I tell you, it just takes one day where your shield goes down. One day where you have just a little weakness and you could do something that you'll regret or have scars for the rest of your life. Can I tell you, that's why it's important every single day. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time reading the Bible. As you're going through the day, praying and saying, Lord, just help me. Amen. Just help me to do what is right. Lord, uphold me. Amen. Strengthen me. I was a member of a time there was a preacher. He said something. And here's a guy, to the best of my knowledge, he was a good preacher. He loved the Lord and everything. And he started to get on the internet. And as he would get on the internet, I guess his flesh started to get the best of him. And as he would get on the internet, he was thinking, you know, maybe I'll just peek at something. Just take a little look. There you go. And that's what he said he did. That he just took a look. And he said the Holy Spirit convicted him so bad of that. Here, I want you to understand that here was a preacher. And here was a man that was trying to do what's right. But it was in a moment of weakness that the devil has worked on his flesh. And he ended up, I don't know what he did, punched in something as a search engine. And he made a bad decision. He was saying that from the standpoint of trying to say, hey, as a warning, it doesn't matter who you are. We need his strength. Can I tell you, you think about it, you could be at your house, in your room, wherever it is, and you have access to so much wickedness just from that little phone of yours, from your computer, from your tablet. Both, can I tell you, we need to be on guard at all times, amen? And it doesn't matter who you are, amen? Realize that. And here it is, David is saying, my flesh is weak. Lord, I need your strength. Uphold me. He goes on, it says here, verse 18. It says, thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy commandments. David knew the outcome of a lost person. Here it is, he speaks of, he says, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Folks, can I tell you, there are those who are in hell today. Why is that? Because they have rebelled against God. They have sinned against God. They did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, God ultimately said, okay, your time is up. And then they were cast into hell, or died and went into hell. And here is he saying that he says, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Amen? Folks, I want you to understand, he says, thou hast trodden down all them that err from my statutes. It may seem like the wicked is getting away with it, but they're not. The reality is this, if they don't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, where they're going to end up is hell, and they're going to regret it. And there's nothing they can do to get out. David is reminded or mindful that those that are attacking, those that have these vain thoughts, those things that they're saying are going against him, David is mindful of what's happening or where they'll end up. He says here, he says, for their deceit is falsehood. Their deceit is falsehood. They're trusting in a lie. How many, you think about it, how many people in this world today really believe, as you think about it, the majority of this world, not talking about, I'm talking about people that are of age accountability. You think about all the people of age accountability, the majority of this world is lost. And you ask the majority of the world, whatever that would be, right? Let's say it's 4 take out kids, and let's say it's like 4 billion people, whatever that number would be, age of account. If you ask those people, I bet you the majority of those people would say, that are lost, that they're going to go to heaven. They believe that. I've talked to people, or a gentleman, I believe that's what's in his mind. When he dies, he's going to heaven. Other people that think this. Now, then others, so you think about it, they're trusting in a falsehood. They're believing that they're not that bad of a person. There's others that are trusting in a falsehood of what? That when they die, that's it. They're like my dog. Amen? And my dog's here, and then my dog dies, and then that's it, right? My dog doesn't have a soul. Amen? Other than she is identifying as a female. And so I'm going to claim her on my taxes. Amen. So I believe if another person could do that, you know, I just had a light bulb. I am going to start identifying as a 62-year-old man so I can get Social Security. I can retire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I better do better. 67. They're being deceived. I mean, you think about it, it's the foolishness. You cannot, with an honest heart, go out into this world and truly look around and see the creation of this world. Look up in the sky and see the sun and the moon and the stars. And see how everything just works. And truly, with an honest heart, and say, there is no God. There is no creator. How foolishness. God says that the heavens declare, right? What is it? It's because of sin. It's because of sin that people say, there is no God. But deep down they know. They just don't want to give an account. They're mad at God, right? Folks, can I tell you, it's the foolishness. It's they are being deceived. Or you have those that believe that God's not going to judge me. God's not going to cast me into hell. No, you're choosing to go there. Yeah, amen. I'm not going to go to hell. Hell's not real. Yes, it is. You're being deceived. I like to, when someone says that, and then I would ask them, well, then why did Jesus die? If there is no hell, then why did Jesus have to die? You know? Surely makes them think just for a second, then the devil gets them again, amen. Look what the Bible says over here, the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look here, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He's talking about not sharing the gospel, not telling people about Jesus Christ. He says, if you think about it, if you're not sharing the gospel, telling others about Jesus Christ, who are you hiding it from? You're hiding it from those who need to hear. Those that need to know that there is a heaven and there's a hell. So he's saying, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He goes on and says, whom the God, lowercase g, of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're believing it a lie. They're being deceived. You and I, all in this room, know people that are lost, that are deceived, and thinking that when they die, nothing's going to happen, or God's just going to allow them into heaven. I bet you most people that we know would probably tell you, I'm not going to hell. Or if they think of hell, they don't think of what hell is, right? They're being deceived. And if we hide that gospel, we're hiding it from them. He goes on and says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them, right? When you share the gospel, yeah, they may not like it. But the reality is that light will shine on them. But what is it? It would show them their sinful condition, that they need a Savior. He goes on and says, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen? I'm not up here preaching about myself. I'm telling you about Jesus. Amen? He's the one that can save you. He's the one who saved me. He's the one that saved you if you accept him as your Savior. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he's commanding you. He's telling you, tell, right? Has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at this. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What he's saying, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Amen? I mean, you and I have the answer. We're a wicked old sinner saved by grace. We have the answer to share with a lost and dying world about a Savior who loves them. Amen? Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 20. Romans chapter 20. He's talking about those that are lost. Look what the Bible says. This is the final outcome for those that are lost. Here in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation. Well, I beat you to it. Revelation. There you go. Revelation. You can go to Romans 2, but you're not going to find what I'm going to read here. We're in church. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Look down here, verse 11. I had the R right, so you have to give me something. I had the New Testament, you know, so somewhere. Revelation chapter 20, look here, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. It's not that God wants anyone to go to hell. Hell was not made for them. But they can't stay in heaven because of sin. There's a consequence. It says there was found no place for them. They could have been in heaven, but they rejected it. And hell wasn't made for them. And the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Here is all that are lost that are going to stand before God and give an account of their life. That atheist that blasphemes God, makes fun of God, one day is going to stand before a holy, mighty God and realize, what did he do? What did she do? And give an account of their life. There is no way they're going to look and say, you're not real, because they know it. Because they were tormented in hell, and now they're before his presence. And God's going to open up that book, the book of life, and show them the opportunities they had to receive Christ as their Savior and reject it. He's going to say, you had an opportunity to be forgiven, and you rejected me. And now you're going to be judged out of all that you have done. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life, those people that think that as long as my good outweighs my bad, there is no way a loving God will cast me into a lake of fire. They're being deceived. If that their name is not in the book of life, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Folks, can I tell you, that is the outcome of those that are lost to reject Christ. They'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now you go back here to the book of Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Look down here, verse 20. David closes out this section, and he mentions this verse, right? So if you think about it at the beginning, he's kind of talking about vain thoughts, and he's talking about separation, keeping it away. He's referring to, we need help to help us, as you're going back to Psalms 119, you look at verse 20. We need God to help us in this wicked world. And then he talks about the wicked, the outcome of the wicked, what's going to happen to them. And then he says this, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, for I am afraid of thy judgments. Now, when you see that, you read it, you have to take it in context and realize David is not saying of that ultimately dying and going to hell. David is a believer. He accepted the Lord, right? He's talking about his word and what the Bible says. David knows there's consequences for his actions. He was fearful. He had a fear of God, even though there's times in his life he should have had a fear of God and he didn't. But he knows there's a consequence. David's seen it. He's not a fearful that he's going to die and go to hell because he knows his sin is forgiven. He's fearful from the thing of, if I don't live for God like I should on this earth, there's consequences on this earth. But he also knows there's consequences one day when he stands before God. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In my books, off here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We saw the last place of the lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This talks about the judgment of the saved. The judgment of the lost, they'll be judged according to their sin and cast in the lake of fire. The judgment of the saved is not judged on your sins because you're forgiven, but it is your works for Christ, what you have done. And look what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building. Amen? Always realize, what we're doing should be according to God's word. Labors together with God. I'm not out on my own doing something. I should be working with God. God's way, right? And what we see is this day and age we're living be the through the local church. Amen? It goes on and says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. God does care how you serve him. There's a warning there, right? But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. God does care, right? If you're trying to serve God, and the reality is, if you're a believer, and it's not according to his word, can I tell you, take heed. Because one day you're going to give an account of what work or what sort it was. He goes on and says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're building upon him, right? It's according to his word and make sure it's right. And now he's telling us our life, this works that we do. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, right? Those first things are precious things that you can build, right? So when you're building something for God, the reality is we want the gold, silver, and precious stones. These are the works that we're doing for God, and these are the things that are according to His will. You're being faithful. You're reading His Word. You're telling people about the Lord. You're allowing your life to be used for His honor and His glory. Well, what are you doing? You're building upon, right? He goes on and says, wood, hay, and stubble. Those are things that you think about, you're still building, but you're not building it the way God wants it. God wants that gold, silver, and precious stone. But you think you found another way to build, and you're building it with these things. And what he's referring to is things that it's not going to last, that will be burnt up. How are you building? You think about it. If you're saved, you are building. What are you building? What materials are you using? You may ask, well, how do I know what materials? Well, what does this book say? Amen. Are you living according to this word? Amen. You're trying to live for Him. Amen. You try to bring people to Christ. He goes on and says, and every man's work shall be made manifest. Everything that you're doing for Christ, everything that you're doing for Christ will be seen. That's what he's saying. Now you see, it's a fearful thing, right? For the day shall declare it. When you stand before Him and give an account of your life, declares it. You can't get out of this, right? Because it shall be revealed by fire. It's not an actual fire, right? But it speaks of judgment. God is going to judge our works, not our sin. Our sin is under the blood. Our works of what we have done for Christ, it's going to be judged. And he says here, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of, here's the key, of what sort it is. The true motive. The true reason. You know, I know God wants me to be a pastor and to lead this church. What sort am I doing? Am I doing this because I know that's what God wants me to do and I surrender to it? Or am I doing this for some other reason? The Bible says that day is going to declare it. The true reason is going to come out, right? When I preach messages, am I preaching this because it's the very words of God and I want you to know the truth? Or am I preaching it because I'm thinking, I know what Mark did to me and I'm going to preach against Mark? The Bible says that day shall declare it. If I'm preaching a message against Mark, then the reality is that day will declare and God will say, you did something you should have never done. I don't know the exact words of that. I don't preach to individuals. Amen. I preach what's here. Amen. If you don't like the messages, you get convicted. It's not my fault. You have to blame God. Amen. He's the one that gave it to me. Amen. It says of what sort it is, the reason behind it, the motive. And if any man's abide which he has built thereupon, again, we are all building, right? What materials are you using? He shall receive a reward. If you're doing it for the right reason, God said there's a reward. But if not, look what he says here. If any man's work shall be burned, so you're either going to have work that survives or it's going to burn. He goes on, he shall suffer loss, right? Whatever you have built for God will be gone because it'll be all ashes, right? You'll have nothing there. But look at this wonderful part of this. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Right? What is he saying? If let's say that I came up here, the reason I came up here was because, I don't know, I got mad at my preacher, whatever it was, and it came up for the wrong reason, and that's why I'm pastoring, right? And I preach messages because, I don't know, I don't like you, Miss Elma, so I'm going to preach this message against you, and next week I'm going to preach against Mark, and next week I'm going to preach, right? And let's say I'm up here doing it all for the wrong reason, right? God will convict me, God will chasten me, God may even call me home early. When I meet God and give an account of my life, I'm still saved if I truly trusted Christ as my Savior, and I did. But I will have nothing to show for what I've done in my life for Christ. He says, I'm still saved, yet so by fire. But what was he saying? I'm saved, but I still have to go through this judgment, this day of judgment where I give an account of my life of what I did for Christ. But I'm still saved, right? You may say, I'm saved, I can live any way you want to. Well, yes, kind of, but no, you can't. Because the Holy Spirit will convict you and then you'll be chastened. But the reality is, and let's say that you decide, nope, I'm not going to live for God and you want to get chastened. You're still going to heaven, but you're not getting out of this judgment. Paul was saying, hey, you still have salvation, But you have a day that's coming where you'll give an account of your life. David at the end was saying in verse 120 of saying all these, you know, these things that are going to happen to the lost. And then he says he was fearful. Why? Because there's a day coming that David would give an account of his life. And can I tell you, David gave an account of his life. And I'm sure there were things that were wood, silver, and there were precious stones. There were probably other things that were gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. He probably had things that were lost. And it may be the same for us. But what we know is we have to realize you're going to give an account of your life. Thank God that you're saved. But wouldn't it be better knowing that one day we're going to stand before Him? That we can give an account of our life with joy? That you can say, you know what, I want to serve God. I want to be faithful. I want to have some gold, silver, and precious stone to give to God. And it's easy to do. Just say, Lord, I want to live for You. And do your best to live for God. None of us are perfect. When you sin, just ask the Lord to forgive you. Try your best not to do it. Don't do the presumptuous sin. Just ask the Lord not. And then what? Start serving Him. Finding something you can do for God and be faithful to that. Can I tell you, there is a great need in our area today. There's young people that need Jesus. Amen? From little kids, teenagers, and up. Amen? Be a desire in your heart to say, you know what, I like to teach boys and girls, or help teach boys and girls. Or I can influence teenagers for God, or young people for God. Amen? Maybe you can't teach it. Maybe you're not the best teacher. Well, find what you can do for God. Because one day, you're going to give an account of your life. God has given each of us the ability to do something. You have a gift. Amen? I don't know what that gift is, right? Some of you have compassion, right? Some of you, give and other things. But use it for the Lord. You know what's a blessing? I see this, and I don't do this to pat people on the back, per se. But you know what a blessing is? That I see it at least once a month, and sometimes see it more. Is, you know, we have some people come to church that, you know, maybe in a wheelchair, they can't. It's hard for them. And I'm not saying this to make Mark's head so big they can't leave, because, yeah. But it's such a blessing where there's someone that's willing, like Mark, to go and help people to get into their cars, right? Who are masting sometimes Marilyn or seeing Ariana doing it. And I saw today where Chris got out of his car, walked over, and wanted to see if anyone needed help. Right? These guys aren't doing it for me to say things to that. But what I'm saying is, that's what God wants us to do. Amen? They're saying, you know, I could do something. What is the part I can do? They want to do something. There's people that clean. You come into the church and you didn't even realize how bad that bathroom looked. And you never know how bad the bathroom looked because people clean. Amen? They don't do it for a badge. But I'm so thankful they do. You think about when people come in and visit. The gentleman that's been coming in to visit. What a blessing it is when you walked up and introduced yourself or talked to him, right? You're doing your part. Amen? Making people feel welcome at a church house. Amen? When you're out in the community and you're trying to share the gospel with others or being kind to others, people are noticing your life and they're seeing something different. The Bible tells us, I can't remember the exact words, but I think it says something like this, that they may see your good works and bring glory to your Father which is in heaven. People are watching your life and they're not bringing glory to you per se, but they're saying how God's working through you. That's what our life should be. David said it's a fearful thing, right? Yes, there should be that fear that's in this thing. You know, if I don't live for God, what's going to happen? But don't live in fear per se, right? Yes, have that reverence and, you know, but live for God. That's how God wants us to live. Live for Him today. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message was a blessing and a help. And I pray, Lord, that it would help us live for you this week. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. We ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.